In Jesus' name, we pray. Hallelujah. Now, in a moment, maybe for the next 30 minutes, let's just do Bible study. I'd like you to take your seat. You're welcome. Greet your neighbor to the left and to the right. In order to create an effect upon the face of the earth from the spiritual dimension, there is of necessity the need for some form of exertion. Several things don't just happen upon the face of the earth. The same angel that came to bring Peter deliverance still stayed back in town. There was still another assignment the angel had to carry out. And it came to pass when that day of oration was set and Herod came and spoke so much in oratory. His diction was great. His lingo was marvelous. And everyone said, "This is the voice of God." The angel, he continued his work. But you see, the fuel upon which these angels operate is prayer. Jesus said, "I will pray the Father." You know, somebody said he commands his angels. It's not in scripture. It's not in the Bible that a human being will command angels, "Go now." Because Jesus himself, showing us the pattern, said, "I will pray the Father," and he will what? Send 12 legions of angels. They ride on prayer. Your angels can be standing. No work to do is on strike. You have not set it in motion because you have not applied pressure. That's why you have things are going wrong around. I believe God today that you will come out of that place that the kingdom of darkness has held you bound. You will regain your masculinity. You will lay hold on your destiny in the name of Jesus Christ. Turn your Bible with me. We'll be looking around the book of Romans. You know, just finding a pathway in the book of Romans, as we try to tell the story of the path of spiritual progress. These heroic things that we read about are things that are not just supposed to happen once and then for a long time and happen once again, but it's supposed to be a consistent reoccurrence in your life when you are plugged into the operation of the fountain of life. Now, in the book of Romans chapter 5, your dear say amen. Just Bible study for a short while. The Lord will help us in the name of Jesus Christ. Now I want us to just run from Romans 5. We'll go to Romans 6, Romans 7, then Romans 8. Because in the book of Romans chapter 5, there is a great comparison that is being done in Romans 5, 6. And another comparison is being done in Romans chapter 7 and Romans chapter 8. It is somewhat of a contrast, but it reveals so much as touching our experience in the faith. Romans chapter 5, verse 12. I want to summarize the second section of the book of Romans, beginning from Romans chapter 5. Hallelujah. So that I will not encumber you with too much of reading tonight, we'll just pick some verses. You can go back home and do the full study. In Romans chapter 5, verse 12, the Bible says, "Wherefore, as by one man's sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." One man did that. Now the book of Romans chapter 5 reveals something. What it reveals, the subject of Romans chapter 5 is in Adam. Somebody say in Adam. I didn't hear that. You didn't say it with faith. Yeah? In Adam. The Bible clearly reveals to us that if we function from the standpoint of our natural endowment, we operate within the auspices of the pathway that the life of Adam has created. Are you still with me? It says, because of one man's offense, death, sin entered into the world, and death passed upon all men. So in Adam, we all die. You get it? Let's move again. Romans chapter 6, verse 23. In Romans 6, verse 23, the Bible says, for the wages of sin is death, still referring to in Adam. Are you still with me? But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. So Romans chapter 5 speaks about our situation in Adam. Romans chapter 6 speaks about the possibilities that abound toward us in Christ. It is a contrast and a comparison. We need to understand the circumstances and the spiritual situation that abounds when we function in Adam. And I need to say, well, the Lord will help us. We don't have time to go around, but are you still here? Then in Romans chapter 7, we have another contrast. Because the subject of Romans chapter 7 is in the flesh. And the subject of Romans chapter 8 is in the spirit. So we have four things to compare. First of all, we have what? Oh my God. This class is dull and thick. If we were in a lecture room now, you respond. But if we come back to everybody doesn't know again, we are. I bind that spirit. Okay, let's start again. First of all, we have what? In Adam, and then in Christ. Secondly, we have what? In the flesh, and in the spirit. You are following me now? Good. The tragedy of the Christian life, and the vision behind every temptation that you have ever had, is to bring you out of Christ, bring you out of the spirit, bring you into the flesh, and bring you into Adam. It happens to be that we become, our circumstances and our spiritual experience becomes exactly that of Adam if we operate in the flesh. Did you get that? And our circumstances and our experience become exactly that of Christ if we operate in the spirit. Now, I cannot make it clearer than that. And that's the object of every temptation, to bring you out of Christ and to cause you to have solace and find solace in the flesh. And when you are in the flesh, you are living out Adam. So it is possible for you to be in Christ, but because of your compatibility with the flesh, you may never ever explore your destiny, which is in the spirit. I think I'm too hard now. Let me calm down. I want to read something I wrote in my script. Amen? I wrote this in my script. It said, Christ dwells and manifests himself not in terms of flesh, but in terms of spirit. Can we say that together? Christ dwells and manifest himself not in terms of flesh, but in terms of spirit. But the Bible reveals to us the possibility of us operating in the flesh. That possibility exists. Even though by an act of God's authority, on the account of our faith in Jesus Christ, God has placed us in Christ, is expecting that we will function from that standpoint. But the option of operating in the flesh and living out the destiny of Adam also exists. Are you still with me? And if we operate in the flesh, we will live out the destiny of Adam. If we operate in Christ, it happens to be that in Christ, our possibilities in God abound. For instance, the Bible says that we are blessed with all spiritual blessings in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. That sphere of blessing, are you still with me? That possibility that has been afforded us by God, by reason of this great endowment wherewith he has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavenly realms, those blessings only reside in Christ and Christ dwells and manifests himself not in terms of flesh, but in terms of the Spirit. Pivotal point I would like us to note. Two options. Well, either a fleshly man or a man that operates by the Spirit. You can operate by the impulses of the flesh. Operates by the signals and the signs of the flesh. You can also operate by the Spirit. And if you operate by the Spirit, you are living your spiritual destiny. You are in pace with God. You are in rhythm with the Holy Spirit. You are fulfilling the law. But there is an option. You can also respond like a man in the flesh. But your life and experience will be a contradiction to your destiny in Christ. That's just the difference. So maybe a situation crops up. Somebody stirs you up. And you got into a rage. And the way you responded like Adam. Because Adam will naturally slap back. Because his consciousness is within the framework of his soul. And anytime you touch him, he believes that you have cheated him. And he needs to do something to redeem his image. That kind of oppression is an oppression that is figured and factored in the flesh. And the manifestation and the testimony of your life is not that of Christ, but it's that of Adam. Now, I need to show us quickly how we can switch on the law of the Spirit of life that resides in Christ. Now, when I say law, maybe the people that are students of biological science will be able to understand us better. You see, it happens to be that every life form contains some characteristics. We call them, that is in the DNA, they are chromosomes. And the chromosomes contain all the characteristics that life form will have from every stage of development onto the point of maturity. So it has already been encoded in the chromosomes that I'm going to be this color, I'm going to be this height at this age, I'm not going to have white hair now, but hallelujah, it's already encoded. And so when I live my natural life, what manifests is with respect to that which is already encoded. Do you understand that? Now. When we want to define a law is something that is almost always constant. It happens in Malaysia the same way it happens in Nigeria. We say that it is governed by law. For instance, when we talk about the law of gravity, and I throw something up in Malaysia, and it comes down. When I throw it up in Nigeria, it comes down. That means because this experience is constant, there is a law that supports it. Are you still with me now? It's almost always constant. But I want you to understand that we do not need to teach a mango tree that its leaves are green, because it's already encoded in the chromosomes. And it is a law. It will manifest the way it is encoded. Are you with me now? Now, we don't need to teach a dog how to bark, because it's encoded in the chromosomes. As long as you allow the dog to grow, the symptoms of barking will evolve naturally, because that law is already established. Every life form exhibits and manifests a law. That law is already encoded in its DNA. Just give it time, give it space, give it food to eat, give it water to drink, and the law is going to manifest. The character that is part and parcel of its reality will be projected. Are you still with me? All right. You see, it happens to be that the life of God also have characteristics. If you can give it expression, it has symptoms, it has manifestations, it has operations. Are you still with me? It is only the law of the Spirit of life that can take us beyond the infirmities of the flesh, infirmities of the natural man, infirmities like hunger, infirmities like the desire to sleep, infirmities like thirst. And several people have become slaves to their test, because they just need to take a bottle of star in the night. No money, they have not paid salaries. In fact, there's a backlog of debt in salaries, but he must make an appearance at the beer parlor. I discovered now in Makodi, we have more than beer parlors. We have beer gardens now. You know, beer parlor, you see, it's a place where two or three are gathered. Solitary confinement, fellowshipping over the bottle of star. Oh, the Lord give you understanding. But now we have enlarged. The paddock can no longer carry them, so it's a garden now. The bear man needs to buy land just like somebody that wants to build a church. And he brings out plastic seats. You don't get it. His business thrives because there are several people bound by their test.
Do you get it?
Or you don't get it? See, in your natural life, there are limitations. You can be bound by any appetite of your flesh. Test by food. I told you about a lady that she must eat beans every day. By 8 p.m., she will just cry, "Hey, I've not ate beans." She's bound to beans. So when you are talking dry fasting to that one, it's not part of the vocabulary because beans must show up. And all these things are limitations. You see several people bound by cigarettes. It's an appetite. The first time he piped for the first time, he began to sneeze and to cough. But a time came when the appetite was developed. He was the one that went and woke it up. A time comes now, he can no longer stop doing what that appetite wants him to do. Your life is going to follow a direction as programmed by the destiny of the fall, which came into manifestation on the account of the rebellion of Adam. There is such a programming. If you yield to the flesh and allow the flesh, your life will go in a certain direction. But it happens to be that the destiny that you have in Christ is factored into your spirit. And you need to learn how to depend and function within the confines of the law that the divine life provides. That is the only basis of consistency with respect to spiritual things. And I need to show us now 8 things we need to do in order to keep that law vibrant and active. In that day, you'll be able to do the supernatural naturally. And you will do the natural supernaturally. The Lord will help us in the name of Jesus Christ. I say hallelujah. Okay. Let's read the scripture. I think the best explanation of this scripture, of this concept, will be found in the book of Exodus chapter 14. Just move with me. We need to touch the Old Testament so that we can have a graphic illustration of that which we are discussing in the New. You see, when we take our light from the New Testament, we need to add muscle to that light from the Old. When we find a scripture within the Old Testament context that accurately reflects the perspective that we have crystallized from the New, then we add muscle to it from the Old Testament because all the details are graphically illustrated within the context. Now, in the book of Exodus chapter 14, I'd like you to see something. If you are there, say amen. Amen. It's as if half of this crowd is not here. Say, if you are here, say amen. Amen. I got bothered some time ago. Saw a mighty man of God came for a crusade in Abuja in IBB Square. No, Eagle Square. Eagle Square. Eagle Square. He was the one that began this Friday night vigil in Abuja. Mighty prophet. And he has so much signs and wonders in his ministry. And he was ministering that night and cripples began to walk and all of that. And then, I don't know what he was saying. He was doing his hand like this. So, and it's as if he was telling his pastor something, one of his pastors something. And the guy was not attentive. He went there and slapped the pastor. And he came back to the pulpit. He was still raising cripples. I say, no, something's wrong. Something's wrong with my theology here. So God can still move at that. But the Holy Ghost was still intact. And I began to wonder. Maybe you have gone somewhere before, and you know the guy on the pulpit was just a crook, a thief, trying to take the people's money, using the gifts of the Spirit just as an avenue to steal from the people. And yet, he called the power of God, and the power still moved. I say, oh, hold on. Exodus 14. Your vessel must be clean because there's a possibility for you to be operating with the mixture of the spirit and the flesh. And somebody that is trying to grow will be confused. But those kind of ministers will never last. And God will never bring them to a place where they will handle things that are holy. The flesh is always seeking expression. And the flesh can only find expression if you assist it and you are willing to operate within its jurisdiction. This is what happened in the book of Exodus, chapter number 14. It will illustrate our point. First point, and first thing you need to know in switching on the law of the Spirit of life that resides in Christ. Exodus 14. For the sake of time, I'll just read the verse straight, which is verse 13. And Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still, and ye stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them no more forever. Do you believe that scripture? I know you don't believe it. You have seen it in the Bible, but you don't believe it can be true. That the Egyptians that you see today, there is a point, there is something that can happen to you that you will not see them no more forever. I know, don't worry, let me show you how it's going to happen. It's not mnemonics. We are not trying to cram the scripture. These are life applicable nuggets. And if your spiritual experience is healthy, these scriptures will testify about your experience. It will confirm it and consolidate it. What was the scenario behind this scripture? Liberty had been proclaimed over the land. And the guys that had been in captivity for 430 years were on their way out. It was a mighty procession. It was not without singing and merrymaking. And everyone began to raise a song unto the great God that could deliver so mightily. All the 12 gods of the territory of Egypt were humiliated. Pharaoh himself was dumbfounded. He has never seen any power like that, that has challenged his supremacy. He took some time and held his breath and meditated a while, called his counselors, sought their will. Oh, and they said, those guys are without weapons, without an armory, without soldiers, without valiance in their company. We will not be at loss on any count if we chase them. Hallelujah. And so the guys came out and began to chase. These guys were trekking. So they had not covered so much ground before the decision to chase them was crystallized. And the mighty chariots of Egypt were rolled out. Some heavy machinery that had not been put to use for a long time became relevant. Several times like that, when the devil wants to come upon your case, it might be that some demons that have not worked for a long time can be called back from retirement into active service because the devil wants to prove a point to your family. He rolled out some tools. Jesus. Rolled out some ammunitions, and it was time for business. And the race was a hot chase because there was no weapon on the other side. No valiant on the other side. It was a battle that you could not lose. And everyone wanted to have a field day just slaying the sons and daughters of Israel and calling the names of their gods. It was within the power of Israel to walk out of the gate of Egypt. Hallelujah. They could do that naturally. But they came where God led them to. You know, there were many routes. But they were under the leadership of the cloud and the fire. So they were not even allowed to choose the routes that they were going to take. If not, there was a shorter route there. Through the territory of the Philistines, if you have taken any feeble man 6 days to cross to Canaan. But God said there is a way within the belly of the Red Sea. If you have read the book of Ezekiel, you know why God said so. Because Pharaoh sought his power from a hidden dragon. And that dragon hand is abode in the midst of the Red Sea. And God wanted to confront the real evil. Because you cannot kill Pharaoh by shooting him on the throne. You must confront the power that holds his throne and holds his reign. And God said, I'm going to make my route in the belly of the river. And he led them by the cloud and fire to the bank of the Red Sea. Suddenly there was conflict in opinion in the camp. Several people operating in the flesh said, is it that God did not have sufficient graves in the land of captivity? Where would I be laid to rest in peace? And R.I.P. on our gravestone. Why die where no one will be able to identify your gravestone? By the riverside, when the tempest comes upon the river, it will just overflow your bones, and even your great-grandchildren may not know where their father was laid. It's a bad way to die. And they told Moses, today is a bad day. Oh my God. Pastoring the children of Israel was such a task. You needed to be a prophet hooked up to heaven 24 hours in a day. Because you need to speak in psalms, in hymns, in riddles many times, and in spiritual song, in bringing comfort to that camp. It was a wild camp. All kinds of stuff you find there. And they came to the bank of the river. Oh, it was as if Moses was speaking in tongues, doing his rod like this. They said, this is your rod. This is your rod now. I don't think the issue is the rod. Let's go and negotiate with Pharaoh. He's coming. We can still tell him we'll make more bricks. Many times when redemption is coming, it's so difficult for you to figure out with the redemption. When God has ordained in the archives of his wisdom that you are going to come out, suddenly you find yourself trying to negotiate with the devil. I know we are 27. You have taken 21 already. Why not allow the rest to leave? That's the day you come to understand that the wickedness of the devil knows no boundary. In its most natural state, it's bad. It's bad on Monday, bad on Friday, bad on Sunday night. He doesn't have an option to operate. That's his nature. If he speaks a lie in the tenor and temper of your native language. That's his nature. So they were thinking about negotiating with Pharaoh. And suddenly, it's as if God broke through the silence. And Moses said, stand still. And you shall see the salvation of God. That is the testimony of the spiritual life. There are several things that you don't necessarily need to do with the Spirit's help. For instance, I want to go to BSU. I walk out of my house. I enter into the bus. I pay the fine. They take me there. Hallelujah. The guys didn't need Spirit help when they were coming out of Egypt. But obviously they needed Spirit help when I had come to the water bank. Except something supernatural happens, they will die. Are you still with me? Now, do you understand that it is not natural to pray? Prayer is not natural life. You must have come to the banks of prayer life before. And then you want to put the cloak of prayer. And you just go into it and move into the motion. And after moving for about 15 minutes, you just discover the rod is not working. Because what is happening here in the book of Exodus chapter 14 verse 13 is that Moses is about to switch from the natural and switch into the supernatural. And what did he say when he came to the river bank? He said what? He is teaching us some spiritual principles. When you are about to transcend from one dimension to another, transcend from one level to another, transcend from one realm to another, there is a standing still. That's what the Bible calls waiting on the Lord. Now, waiting on the Lord has four dimensions within the context of Scripture. Are you still with me? There are four scriptures I need to open to us to show you what it meant when Moses said, stand still. He was saying, bring all your activity in the flesh to rest, because your flesh at this point will profit nothing. Your intelligence will profit nothing. All the things you learn from the library will count for nothing. All the kind of songs you sang in Egypt will not go anywhere. Stand still. Because there's a different principle that will take you beyond this point. In the natural, you're able to come out of the gate and come to the riverbank. But something supernatural must have to happen to take us from this point. Tell your neighbor, stand still. I saw you on Monday, you were so active. I saw you as if you could rain the whole world down. As if the devil shall meet with you face to face, your voice will count. Tell him, stand still. You have been trying too hard, speaking too much, boasting too much. This time it's not going to be in the flesh. You must gain ascendancy by the Spirit. And Moses said that the point of switching from the flesh into the Spirit is a definite point. So everybody, I will show you exactly that this is the testimony of Romans chapter 8. Exactly. I said that we pick the light from the New Testament and then seek muscle to add to it from the old. The Bible is one compendium. It never contradicts itself. God is the same God yesterday. He's the same God today. And He will ever be the same God forever. If you believe me, say amen. Amen. Stand still. Hallelujah. Now, you see, you might look at that young boy now. Do you know that all the things you learned in the library can't help him? Oh, you don't understand. Everything you are cannot help him. Now we need to switch to another realm. Take advantage of another dimension. We need to latch onto the power that is resident in our spirit. And there is a transition gap. And that's why Moses said, stand still. Let's amplify that word. Stand still. Let's amplify. Can we do that now? The next few minutes? All right. That's what the Bible calls waiting on the Lord. Amen? In the scriptures, there are four times that phrase, wait on the Lord, is mentioned. Two of the times it's not related to this context, to this teaching. Two of the times it's related to this teaching. But one of the times is most consistent with what we are teaching tonight. Now, so let's look at it. Can your concentration come back? All right. Isaiah chapter 8. Isaiah chapter number 8. You see, when things are orchestrated from the realm of the spirit, there's nothing, no form of exertion that you do in the natural that is going to count. Hallelujah. A spiritual arrow is shot into somebody and you just come there and use all your knowledge. I thank God for doctors. They do their own bit. But not every infirmity is natural. You cannot explain every infirmity from using stethoscopes and what they call that thing that they put on the chest. That one they put... Stethoscope. You want to examine everything under the influence of an electron-based microscope. See, this granules are MP, malaria paras. I'm telling you, when a spirit is operating, you will not see nothing. But the person is dying. Say that from the kingdom of darkness. And you see, you cannot handle that case in the natural. And there must be a standing still. So that the salvation of God can be made manifest. It is only in that salvation of God that the possibility abounds, wherein we can truly testify that the Egyptians that we see today, we shall see no more forever. It is only on the strength of the law of the spirit of life in Christ that that is a possibility. Outside of it, you cannot have this experience. Outside of the law, the spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Now, I said, we want to amplify what it means when Moses said, stand still. What he's saying is, wait on the Lord. Now, I need to define what it means to wait upon the Lord, because most of us believe that all that entails waiting upon the Lord is fasting and prayer and seeking the Lord's will. Even though that is part of it, but that is not all of it. In the book of Isaiah chapter 8, I'll just give you the verses involved, verse 17. The Bible says, oh my God. Verse 16, let's go with 16. It says, bind up the testimony. fulfill the law among my disciples. And I will wait upon the Lord that hideth his face from the house of Jacob, and I will look for him. This is a situation where somebody lacks wisdom. And he's seeking God for wisdom. Seeking God for direction. He wants to know where God is about this matter. And he just discovers that in the flesh, he cannot have that function furnished in his life. Are you with me?
All right.
Now, somebody has two jobs. And he wants to know which of the jobs to take. And he knows that if he ever gets to know which of the jobs God wants him to take, he must by all means switch from the flesh into the spirit and access the mind of God. Hallelujah. Now, so this is the first aspect of waiting on the Lord, which is the one you know. Fasting and praying so that the mind of God will be revealed. You know, many, many times God seems to be a mystery. His will is so hidden. So you may need to shut down all the voices that speak around your life so that you can hear the voice that is speaking expressly. All right? The reason for the fasting is because digestion is an involuntary process in your life that takes 70% of all your energy. So once you have food in your mouth, that process begins and it engages your physical strength so much. And that's why sometimes when you take akpu in the night, you have no choice but to. You are slain. So you want all your strength to be harnessed in the spirit dimension, so you leave out food. It increases your sensitivity in the spirit because all of that energy is conserved. And I said that when we're doing or carrying out a spiritual push, we are drawing energy and strength from different points in order to be able to exert all the energy in a specific direction. And so he leaves food out and is praying, seeking the will of God. And somewhere there's an activation of the law of the spirit of life, and he's able to tap into the mind of God and access that secret that he seeks. This is an aspect of waiting upon the law. But this one has no direct connection with our scripture. Because if Moses would have had to wait and fast and pray by the riverbank, he would have died before he said hallelujah. So there's another aspect of waiting upon the Lord, which is that one that is most compatible with our daily living as we seek to activate and operate in the law of the spirit of life that is in Christ Jesus. That one is revealed in the book of Isaiah chapter 40. You know it very, very well, Isaiah chapter 40. But I just want to read it for purpose of reference. Isaiah chapter number 40. This is the one that is directly connected to what we are talking about. Are you still with me now? Now, verse 28, the Bible says, "Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength." Somebody say, increase my strength. "Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord, they shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles." Let me stop there for now. Now, so when Moses was saying, "Stand still, and ye shall see the salvation of the Lord," he was actually talking about waiting on the Lord within the context of hoping on the Lord for the supply of spirit power so that he could access a dimension that he could not access naturally. No, you don't get that. Okay, let's go to Romans chapter 7. And let us see the transition from the flesh into the spirit. You are going to see what I'm talking about. Romans 7, please turn with me quickly because of time. Romans chapter 7. If you started the teaching, I said that Romans chapter 7 illustrates in the flesh. And Romans chapter 8 illustrates what? In the spirit. Now, I want you to see the transition from the flesh to the spirit, and then you'll be able to see the standstill that I'm talking about. Now, in Romans chapter 7, this man is lamenting and is crying. He's crying because of the contradictions that he has seen when he tries to live his life within the context of the flesh. Several things he had desired to become, several things he had desired to experience, is a far cry from his daily experience because he's operating in the flesh even though he's in Christ. Hallelujah. And so he keeps trying. Like, I went to BSU to preach one night, and when I came out, a young lad walked up to me and said that he has tried for a long time to stop smoking, but he has not been able to stop smoking even though he has given his life to Christ. The point is this: he is in Christ, but he's still trying to stop smoking with the strength of fleshly power. That is the reason for his defeat. Hallelujah. He's trying by an act of his will. Stop smoking! And then he smokes them all. Maybe he tries for about 3 days, closes his mouth, and holds himself under lock and key. And then on the fourth day, he felt he had had victory. And then he walked by a place, walked close to a chimney, where several people were smoking as pen. And when he got entangled with the odor, his captivity was renewed, and his jail term was also refreshed. And he reached out to one stick, and all the ones he didn't smoke for all the days, he added it with compound interest. Why? Because he's trying to do something by an act of his will, trying to use his natural capacity and ability to fight against something that is orchestrated from the realm of the spirit. The consequence of that is that you have an utter failure. That's why the Bible says, even the youth, in this matter, the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But if you are going to switch from the realm of the flesh to function from the realm of the spirit, then you have to wait on the Lord. Stand still. Did you get it? You have not gotten it. Come with me to the book of Romans chapter 7. And I'm going to show you the first principle that you need to engage if you are going to switch from the flesh into the spirit. Many times you may be called upon to preach a sermon. You didn't have all the time to pray to get a word from God. And somehow, the time between the time of notification and the time of manifestation is just 30 minutes. Hallelujah. Something must happen quickly. Something must take place fast. Supply must come to you. You know that in the flesh you cannot make this thing happen. And then you know how to take advantage of that principle of stand still. Walk with me. In the book of Romans chapter 7, if you are sitting here, say amen. In Romans chapter 7, this man identifies a contradiction in his life. Several things that he wants to stop doing, he finds himself still doing it. And several things that he doesn't want to do, he finds himself doing. And all these things are the manifestations of spiritual failure on the account of the absence of spirit power. Can you read with me? Romans 7. Verse 24. I've tried several times to make it happen, but he's finding out now that by himself he cannot see those things that he desires. Then he comes to verse 24 and he says, "O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death?" Now, this point in your experience is that point when you have seen the flesh fail so many times. Your attempts has come to nothing. And you come to a point where you are no longer ready to strive in the flesh. That's what it means to stand still. At this point, the guy has come to understand experientially that the flesh profited nothing. No, oh my God. Are you with me? He has tried several times in the flesh to get spiritual results, get Bible results, and he has failed. So he has now come to an acknowledgement of the fact that the flesh profited nothing. At that point, he says, stand still. Let all the attempts of the flesh come to an end. Let all the consulting with the mind come to an end. Now I want to hope on God so that he will supply strength.
That was what Moses was doing. He says, stand still. None of your wisdom can take us through to the other side. None of your understanding can take us to the other side. We stop in the flesh and we hope on God so that he will provide and supply his salvation. Did you get it? Now let me give you my own experience. Before I gave my life to Christ, being that I was one of the youngest in our family, so many other ones, and when you do something wrong, they slap you even without, before asking what happened. So many slaps were coming from too many places. I had to devise a way of survival quickly. So I had to strengthen myself in my ability to tell lies. At least I'll be free. And I kept telling lies and going free. And it happened to be that I became a master in the trade. And when I gave my life to Christ, I just found out that I was called. Hallelujah. And I went to Bible school and I came out. There was this program still lingered. I fasted. I said, no more! I lied them all. Tried by an act of my will to suppress that which I've become by reason of use. And the time came when I discovered that all my ability put together was insufficient to sponsor this one. So I had to say what? Stand still. Let my flesh come to rest. Let all my attempts come to rest. And for the first time, let me hope that salvation will come from a yonder place. Do you understand it? There's no salvation in my flesh. And now I'm looking to my spirit and hoping that by the Spirit of God that resides in my spirit, there will be supply. So when we say waiting upon the Lord, within the other context, we are saying, Lord, in the flesh we can't do this thing. We have come to a point where we discover that the flesh profited nothing. It will be vain and fake for us to expect deliverance to come from the realm of the flesh. Now we diligently ask that there be a supply of strength from your spirit. You see that? Stand still, and what will happen? You shall see the salvation of the Lord which he shall bring this day. For the Egyptians that you see today, you shall see them no more forever. Are you still with me now? Amen. All true spiritual mastery is based upon mastering the faithfulness and depending upon the faithfulness of the law of the spirit of life in Christ. If you have found that law, you decide to depend upon that law, and that law carries you whenever there's a limitation. It takes you beyond the limitation of the natural. It takes you beyond the encumbrances of the natural. It holds you, and then you will not have confidence in the God that resides inside of you. I overcame several things. My preaching today is a testimony. Because if I go back and I stop fasting and praying regularly, I will begin to stammer. And the stammering is bad stammering. But every time I pray, that's why I spend so much time praying before I come out. I pray until the tongues become fluid. And I know that the law of the spirit of life has taken over. And the flesh has been subdued. And I come hot like that. I come hot. Many times I keep food aside. And I begin to meditate. And then the scriptures open up. Until God gives me a message. I know that I'm just speaking philosophy. God is inviting us to that place where we function consistently. By reason of the power that resides in the Lord, the Spirit of life. You have put your spirit to work. And the Bible says that the experience is going to be as if an eagle mounted up with wings. I know when I'm still trying to pick up in prayer, just speaking tongues, the eagle has not taken up. But the time when the eagle takes a first thrust and flight, your utterances will change. At that point, there is a shift from the natural. There's a shift into the supernatural. At that point, if you still keep on, you hit a realm where visions are possible. See, until you get to the place where a particular spiritual thing is possible, those kind of manifestations will never happen. Have you ever watched Reinhard Bonnke and you have wondered, which day will my command wake cripples? Which day will my rebuke open blind eyes? There is a realm where that is possible. And if the Bible says, by the law of the Spirit of life in Christ, we can mount up with wings, that means you have been given the advantage of flight. If you keep on the flight, keep on flying, keep on trusting, keep on trusting, keep on trusting, a time will come when you will come and arrive that pedestal, and those things will become possible with you because it is available in that realm. I want you to hate natural life. Hate it. A time came, one of my uncles, he made so much money, he didn't know what to do with money anymore. So he went to the village and brought a white garment prophet and gave him a room in his house in Abuja. He said, anything you say now, we will do. Before he was rich, he prayed sometimes in the morning. But now he's rich, he needs a prophet. On his payroll. And a time came when he gave that guy 1 million naira every month. See for us. And I went for youth service. That was where I met Jesus on another level, because the odds were against me. It was the season of the Kano riot. So many things were upside down, and you needed to have a good mercy man or to hold on to Jesus very well. Christianity came to that level. If you are fake, be fake to the last. And if you are real, hold Jesus until you know him. I chose the second option, to know Jesus. And I looked for a mountain top in Kano and I ascended it. I said, it's either I die up here or God will appear. And I began to pray. Fasting, prayer, speaking in tongues. Oh my God. Nothing happens naturally in this life except you exert from a realm. Nothing. Began to fast and pray. I said, I will not die ordinary. The time came, I discovered that I began to mount up. My blinded spiritual eyes were open. And I began to, oh my Jesus. A time came, started feeling so much heat on my body. And I began to ask, what's happening? He said, we can see, we close your eyes, because your eyes cannot behold what is around you. There are high cherubs of glory that are fellowshipping with you at the moment. And the proof and the evidence that they have come is that you feel this heat. That is the heat I feel before I know that God will strike somebody down. I know that cherub. I met him in the mountains in Kano when I sought the Lord, when I called upon the name of Jehovah. They came to fellowship with me, and their presence was signified by heat. Oh my God. Even in the Hamathan, when that heat comes, I know that those angels have come again. And I tell you, they are here today. My eyes were open. And I saw a woman that came here with a heart condition. You used to have this pain that comes upon your chest region. It's a terrible pain that the devil has placed upon that place. It is as if a weight has been placed upon you. Even tonight, your freedom will come to you. He said that we mount up. If you are here, you are young. You are below 40 years and you have not yet stretched yourself to a point where you know God. you look like that casualty. That one we are seeing. You look like it. After a while, I went to Abuja to visit my people and I went upstairs. I didn't know we had company.
the white garment prophet, after talking with the spirits, came out of his room. And it was a long corridor. And I also came. And so when I came, and he came, hey, we didn't talk. I was just looking. He looked at me. I looked at him. Hey, the man left. The man. He entered. He entered back. He entered back. Came out. Was speaking one tongue. Speaking one tongue and doing something. Hey. Left. Say, there's no need to. They respect me here. No need to entangle myself with. I've confronted people that work for the devil before. If you are from the part of my country that I come from, by if you get to my age, you should have a lot of incisions on your chest where they must have taken you to protect you from harm. At least some razor cuts here and there. Hallelujah. But I remember the rebuke of my mother. He said, there is only one God, and his name is Jesus. Hallelujah. There's only one God. His name is what? And that's a woman that came in from a Muslim home. Became stronger than my father that is a theologian. Because in the night time, she'll wake up. She didn't know as many scriptures as my dad. But her prayers, you will know that God is hearing this one. When will you wake? My father could analyze scripture. In fact, every Sunday was the worst day in my family. Because while he's driving us back, he's telling us what the preacher didn't say. He said, that message is not balanced. It's out of context. He was not speaking within the context of the pavilion that the scripture within that context afforded him. Many times he leaped out of context. I don't like this thing. But when the demons came, it was my mother's prayer. That we mount up with wings like eagles. So the first thing you need to do in order to activate that principle is to cultivate a habit of waiting on God to supply spiritual power. Whenever I'm going to the pulpit, I pray many times. I say, Lord, Holy Spirit, I depend on you. And I pray knowing what I'm saying. It's not a religious ritual. It's active and powerful. And I know that he's going to respond. Because I've been responding for the past 20 years. I've been responding. One time I sat down and I counted how many messages I preached in 5 years. And I saw that I attended 2,000 services. And each time God moved. 2,000 services. What I'm telling you is not trial and error. 2,000 services. Oh God. Well, time has gone. See, we have not entered. I have not entered very well. But time has come. Rise up, let's pray. Let's pray. See. Can we do something tonight? Let's do something. Let's do something tonight. Now, is there a situation that you have tried to change and it has refused to change? If you have that experience, let me see your hand. Try to change something. Refuse to change. All right. Now let's all use that case as a case study. That case, that situation. Put your hands down. Egyptians that you see today, you shall see them no more forever. That person that I spoke about, that God showed me about, chest condition. Put your hand on your chest.
I didn't say everybody. No. Stop. I didn't say everybody. I said a chest condition. Where are you? Yeah, put that hand down. You see, many times when God says there's somebody here, because the woman God showed me is that woman. Hallelujah. But he's going to heal more than her, not just her. But my joy will be that you understand how to enter the realm of the spirit. God will heal you, but don't stop there. There is a realm. You can access it if you know how to stand still. I want us to begin to talk to God. Let's see if the heaven will open in the next 5 minutes. Just begin to talk to God. Begin to talk to God. Yahweh, you are glorious, so glorious, Yahweh. Yahweh. Yahweh, you are glorious, so glorious. Yahweh, Yahweh, you are glorious. So glorious, you are glorious, so glorious, you are glorious, so glorious, you are glorious. Wonderful, you were wonderful. So wonderful, Yahweh. Singing Yahweh. 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 Oh,
Randola basanda babolokos kate basanda. Oh my God. In Jesus' name.
There's something I see. It's terrible. I will not go beyond this point this night. Amen. We will have a miracle night tomorrow and a deliverance night on Monday. We will allow the Holy Ghost to do what He wants to do that Monday night. But we want you to be instructed. Hallelujah. Now, this is what I'm seeing. Somebody here. Hey. There was a time in your life as you were growing up. Amen. You were attacked with a symptom that was like madness. Although you were cured, you were helped. But what I'm seeing now is that that demon is following you and God wants to drive it. You were attacked. Listen carefully. Listen very carefully. You were attacked with symptoms like madness when you were much younger. But the demon has been following you. Today God wants to send that demon away. If that is your case, put your two hands on your head now as we begin to pray. Now, I need to tell us, I'm not guessing. This is your night, and it's more than one person. It's your night of deliverance. Set free tonight. Set free by the power of God. And that the symptoms will never come back. Now, if with your hand on your head, those people come out. Let me touch you. Don't worry, we'll not go far. We'll not go on Friday, on which day? Sunday, tomorrow evening, miracle night, but on Monday. Ola baba saye babo kamwa.
Yaba bona ma shadada bona da bana na na makata aye na demola sademia yenina mana mona mo yenina masana 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 ela konya na na Badana Kosina Boria Mama. Oh, Nima Masana, 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 Menawa.
Help me now. Drummer, hit that. Hit the drum. Hit the drum louder, louder. Louder, louder, louder.
Senina Mama. Aye. I am.
lift up your voice and let us pray together tonight. The Egyptians that you see today, you shall see them no more. Lift up your voice, lift up your voice.
Oh, mama, mama, mama. Hey, yeah, mama, mama. Mama, mama, mama.
Lift up your voice and cry.
Oh, 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 oh.
Sing unto the Lord now. Lift those hands to the Lord. Ila batuta. Lembalata basala. Robe de geto bokotosi. Ronde da da sopra katabada. Rabetando baskalia. Robe de gada boskanda basale. Jate koskata masalabata. Babranda baboska debo. Coming down now. The purpose of the anointing is to quicken that which has died. Lift your hands. Oh my God. Lift your hands. Anointing is coming down. Ask the Lord to quicken you. Concentrate as much as possible, even if you need to close your eyes now. Some people will be quickened. Some people will be quickened. The anointing is coming stronger. It's 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 coming stronger. Datapo Bakas Kalebatua Bereteketo Palanta. Holy Ghost, move, 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 move. Bring them, ushers, bring them, bring them. He wants to quicken them. Wants to quicken them. Bring them, bring them, bring them. Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit. Oh, there's somebody in this hall now. You will feel something like cold water passing through your body. That's your deliverance. Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, in this hall, from my left to my right, move, believer in this hall.
Somina, 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 na 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 na, somina, 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 mama.
Give me this guy. Come.
Sanina Nambura Sananambra Tamamana Semina Nabula Semina Natula Sumama.
Let the river flow.
Semina Nabula Sana.
If you came here sick, put your hand where you feel the sickness now. At the count of three, every demon of affliction will go. 1, 2, 3, go! Check yourself now. Check yourself. Check yourself quickly.
Can we fly? You leave the flight.
Come, you'll be free now. I just saw you now.
Oh, 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 oh. See, mama, neko do, mama. Ina baba, you anda mama, sani mama, koskele, babala. Sani mama, sobri, ana mama, neko koskoto, bri, ana baba, na mensane. Saye, 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 saye. Secular man, Sanda Mama Patamalaya Kabala Senamo Kila Mama Sobri and a Mamma de Go. Secular man,
there are people fighting you, woman, fighting you, trying to restrain you. But the hand of God will leave this place now. Every pain of yours that is locked, I loose it, I loose it, I loose it, and I break the yoke of the devil.
Oh, mama,
I loose it. Everything the enemy has tied down, I loose it. Let the power of God give life to your legs now. Now, in the name of Jesus. Your warfare is ended, woman. Your hands and begin to pray for this life now. Begin to pray now. Begin to pray now. Oh, my katabosa, lebrokos kanda babori, Somebody took your wrapper away. Your wrapper is on a tree now. Okay, now we are going to retrieve it from the cobble. Sute ya la 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 baba ya mama. Sute mama puria bakanemo. Sani mama ya doli mama sani mama na ya kutima. Oh my God! Something is happening in the spirit. Yabo mama, yabuna, yeah, yababa lakasemono, yababa kesomo, ah, 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 ah. Lord, today I curse the feet of them that seek to bring reproach upon this woman. I retrieve the point of contact that has become their advantage. I close the window that is open to the powers of darkness. The Lord said to me, he said, rejoice. He said, rejoice. For the lion of the tribe of Judah, he has prevailed. Rejoice, 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 rejoice. For the lion of the tribe of Judah, he has prevailed. He has prevailed. Oh, mama, mama, mama. Yana, mama, mama. I see somebody here. Demons were sent to your house. They stole your money. Physical money is missing. You can't account for it. Demons, come on. We'll set them. We'll send them back. Physical money is missing. Physical money, come quick now. Now, demons were sent to you, sent to your house. Physical money is missing. Oh, my man, I'm seeing so many things, I can't say them at the same time. Oh, God, Kalabokosawa. Oh, okay, let's pray for this one and stop today. How much money did you lose?
It was 4 or 5. Yeah, I kept it. I didn't know.
Lord, let there be restoration. For men will despise a thief if he steals but to satisfy his hunger. But when the thief is caught, he shall restore sevenfold. Satan, I command you, restore.
Let the offering basket go round. Cast your seed with thanksgiving unto the Lord. He has visited us again.